The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent out ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So ask the harvest master to send laborers to his harvest. Go on your way, and behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a peaceable person lives there, your peace will rest on them, but if not, it will come back to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his reward. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, that the kingdom of God is in your midst. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. And behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. So, are you all okay? You sure? We just feel like a bit low energy, huh? You feel that? Maybe we can pick it up a little. The first reading today from the prophet Isaiah is a great reflection of what it's going to be like when God takes care of his people once they have returned from the exile. And Isaiah, the prophet, likens Jerusalem to a mother who is going to take care of and to feed and nurture and nurse her children once they were back home. It certainly didn't turn out that way when they returned from exile. The city of Jerusalem was in ruins, and there was a whole lot to be done. But the promise that God was going to be faithful to them and support them once they were back home in their own land depended also on their faithfulness and their response to him. It was kind of a foreshadowing of the gospel as well. The gospel where the disciples are sent out, 72 of them, to proclaim the kingdom of God and particularly to proclaim peace. The hallmark of the kingdom of God is peace. People living in peace and people living in relationship and harmony with one another, that is the hallmark. And while Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three synoptics, give an account of the 12 going out, this is confined to Luke alone, the sending out of the 72. The sending out of the 72 is explained by the size of the harvest. The harvest is great. There's a great harvest in the Lord's world. But who's going to bring that harvest to fruition? The call for more harvesters or more missionaries is related in the gospel passage to the fact that the harvest is so great, and secondly, the time is short. How are we going to get the message to all of these people? And so Jesus sending the 72, probably representative of the two Old Testament references, 70 nations, all the nations of the world. And it's a proclamation that Jesus can't do all of this on his own. He needs laborers in his vineyard, ordinary ministers who would proclaim God's kingdom is here. It's not something in the distance, not something way off out here, but rather it's something really present among us. And while the mission in this case of the 72 was rather simple, and it was directed to local towns and villages. It wasn't way off. It was just the local towns and villages at this point. And so we understand better the instructions. The instructions, what to take. Take no purse, no money bag. You're going to be dependent on the people, on the communities. The houses that they were going to were essentially the houses in the early church. That's how they met for Eucharist. For the first 300 years of Christianity, people were meeting in homes, celebrating his living presence. And so the homes that he was directing them to were many of the community churches that gathered in homes. And so the instructions, don't take too much stuff. And don't stop engaging with people along the way. You have a special mission, and that is proclaiming the presence of his kingdom. But that was also a foreboding or a proclamation of what Jesus was going to do in the end of St. Matthew's gospel, which is the most important piece, the last two lines of the gospel. Chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 of St. Matthew's Gospel says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." It was his command to the apostles right at the end of his life. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to carry out everything that I have taught you. And a very important detail, final line, "And know that I am with you always to the end of the world." That's a pretty important detail. When Jesus sent out the 72, he said to them, the first words that you are to use when you go to a home, "Peace to this house." Imagine how valuable that would be. Peace. You're given the peace of the Lord to live in your household. It's a pretty important little piece. Imagine if we had 72 disciples from among ourselves and they went around to all the households of our parish community and they had these beautiful little signs that were designed by our very artistic people and they said, "Peace to this house." And they put one up over the front door of every home, every family in our parish community. Imagine how cool that would be. Peace to this house, the peace of the Lord lives here, and we work with and nurture that peace in our relationships with each other. It'd be really significant. And that was the significance of Jesus sending them out. Peace. Peace to this house. God's peace is coming to you, and all you got to do is receive it. Just welcome it. He will give it in abundance. Peace is not just the absence of war or enmity in our lives. Peace is a very positive reality. Not just the absence of other things. It's very much an event in itself. Peace implies openness, friendship, tolerance, goodwill, hospitality, openness to reconciliation. So that we really have peace. It disposes us to each other in good faith. It helps to break down the barriers that exist between people. Barriers like fear and prejudice and suspicion and bigotry. And they're very alive in the world. Very alive. Fear, prejudice, suspicion, bigotry. And certainly the whole idea of social media has made it easier. We offer a commentary on everything that is put before our eyes. We have a thought, an idea, a perspective about. Doesn't matter whether we know the facts or not. We are drawn into some kind of an observation about it. Working for peace is very difficult work. There's a lot of persecution in the cause of peace. There's a lot of martyrdom. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of suffering involved in proclaiming the message of peace. That is why Jesus could say in the gospel passage, "Behold, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." He knew the resistance to peace that existed in the world. During the height of the troubles in Northern Ireland, when great hostilities existed between the two premier religions, the Catholic and the Protestant, there was great resistance to peace. But there were also some powerful advocates for peace. Some women formed a group to try and bring peace between Catholics and Protestants. And then one Christmas morning in Northern Ireland, a Catholic priest walked across the street to the local Protestant church to greet the minister and to wish him a happy Christmas and all of his flock. The minister received him very graciously and hospitably, and a little while later, the minister came back across the street to offer the same gesture. Happy Christmas to you all and to all of your flock. But an interesting thing happened. When he went back, the minister, back to his own church, many of the elders complained. Said, "Why did you do that?" And some of them gathered a group to have him moved from that church. That's not how we feel. To us, it sounds like a very picky, small, judgmental, critical issue. To both of those ministers, it seemed like the perfect thing to do. After all, Christmas Day is the birth of peace in our world, the Christ of peace. Both of them believed they were doing the right thing, proclaiming peace on earth to people of goodwill. But there is a great resistance to peace in our world. The people we most need to make peace with are not our friends, but our enemies. But that is hard work. And as a Eucharistic community, our primary responsibility is to be proclaimers and bearers of peace, just like this 72 that he sent out. Not surprising that Jesus made such a point of this in his great teaching in the Beatitudes. If this is what you want to be, then here is the attitude you've got to develop. "Blessed are the peacemakers," he said. "They will be known as the sons and daughters of God." That's the hallmark of children of God. They are working to bring peace in our world. In the Eucharist, just before communion, the priest says these words, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." It's a pretty permanent invitation. Wow, it's a powerful invitation. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Not some of the time, always. What a wonderful gift that is being offered us, the gift of Christ's peace, a gift which the world itself, with all of its power and everything else, cannot give. Only the Lord can give us that gift of his peace. And following that, the priest says, "Let us share," or "let us offer a sign of his peace with each other." how easily we can move through the motions of that. Obviously, it's an invitation to think more deeply. It's valuable for us to remember that the hand I put out to the person next to me or the people around me is the very same hand that I'm going to put out to receive him in Eucharist. There is a definite relationship between those two realities. Do I realize that in my life? In receiving him and holding my hand out and extending that hand to the others around me, I'm making a commitment to be son or daughter, a bearer of peace. We come to Mass to share communion with Jesus, but also to share communion with one another. It's not just about me or I or my growth. It's about being part of his community and sharing his peace. And if we were to come away from Mass with nothing more than his gift of peace and a willingness to share it with others, then we would really have spent our time well in this hour. If I chose to receive his peace and chose to be a bearer of that peace to others, we receive at Mass and we commit ourselves to sharing what we have received. The end of Mass is not like a football match where we all just get up and go home and say, rah, rah, that was good. The end of Mass and the Latin Mass particularly had it well. You go forth, you are sent forth, just like he sent the 72, to be proclaimers of his kingdom and proclaimers that his peace is available. It's made available to all who are willing to receive it. And we are sent out, just like those 72, to proclaim his mission of peace in our world. Just imagine if we were to reflect on that during the course of our week. How peaceable am I? Do I receive his peace? Do I extend his peace? That was a part of the mission of the 72, and ultimately the responsibility of the church to bring peace, to proclaim the good news, to baptize all nations, and to assure them of the promise, I am with you always.